The following are the FAQs found on the iswasandwillbe.com website that were posted in the month of March 2014. Our first one is entitled, Which Kind of Baptism is Best? Brother Mike, baptism of sprinkling or immersion, which one is most appropriate or more correct? Please respond. Signed, Jay. Hi, Jay. Thank you for your question. You ask, baptism of sprinkling and immersion, which one is the most appropriate or more correct? The short answer is that neither will cleanse you. This instead is the baptism which really does cleanse us. Matthew 3, verse 11. And I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Jesus himself never baptized anyone with water. We look to John 4, verses 1 and 2. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, it is very significant that we are told that Christ himself baptized not, simply because Christ told his apostles in John 16, verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. One of those many things that Christ had to tell his apostles, which they could not bear at that time, was this, Ephesians 5, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. The true washing of water is the true fire. Both are types and shadows of the Word of God, hence the washing of water by the Word. Jeremiah 5, verse 14, Wherefore thus says the Lord God of hosts, Because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in your mouth fire, and this people would, and it shall devour them. Physical water is without a man, and does nothing to a man's heart, either good or bad. This is what Christ tells us concerning things that are without a man. Mark 7, verse 15, There's nothing from without a man that enters into him that can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. And Matthew 15, verse 19, For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. And Mark 7, verse 21, For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. Likewise, there's nothing from without a man that can cleanse a man, but the things that come out of a man, the fierce word of God, from the heart of Matthew 18:35, those are they that cleanse the man. Here is how God's fiery words cleanse us from within. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 13 through 15. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Having been baptized in water twice while in Babylon, I can testify that my heart was not the least bit cleansed by that baptism. On the other hand, when God's fiery word burned up all the wood, hay, and stubble of the wicked thoughts that had the dominion over my mind and heart, then I was baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And that was the baptism which cleansed me of my sins. I hope you find these words and these verses edifying. Your brother who is grateful for the spiritual fiery baptism which our Lord's words baptize and wash us, Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Signed, Mike. Our next FAQ is entitled, Is There Ever a Rapture? Hi, my wife and I are having a discussion about the rapture and pre-trib. I believe that we will go through the tribulation period that is mentioned in the Bible. My wife believes that believers in Christ will be pre-raptured before the tribulation period, and that people will go through this period, and then Christ will come again after the trib period. While we both understand rapture is not mentioned in the Bible, we both agree caught up is. Thank you, signed, D. Hi, D. Thank you both for your question concerning whether there is any truth to the doctrine of a rapture. The short answer to your question is that there is no such thing as a rapture out of any of the trials and tribulations mentioned in either Matthew 24 or the book of Revelation. We know this to be true because we're told that all things come alike to all, and man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, and that we must all keep the things which are written therein. Every word I've placed in quotes above is a scripture which is included in the links listed below. I hope that you'll both take the time to read those links and to see what the scriptures actually teach as opposed to what we're being told they teach. Read these links, and if you still have questions, then please feel free to get back to me. Here they are, which I believe will answer all your questions about the so-called rapture. And there are links here with titles The Time of Jacob's Trouble, The Idea of the Rapture, and Who is Taken and Who is Left. Your brother in Christ, Mike. And so in regards to these three articles that have been referenced to in this FAQ called Is There Ever a Rapture, we'll read them. The first one's called The Time of Jacob's Trouble. Hello, Mike. I have another question, as I value your opinion because they are backed with scripture. I've recently heard a Babylonian minister talk about the time of Jacob's trouble in Jeremiah 30, verse 7, and refer it to the mythical rapture that the Orthodox Church believes in. I was wondering if you have some insight on what the time of Jacob's trouble is. Thank you very much, Mike, and God bless you. Signed, D. Hi, D. Thank you for your very encouraging words. And thank you for your question. You ask, I was wondering if you have some insight on what the time of Jacob's trouble is. Let's look at the verse which you reference and to which the minister who was preaching the false doctrine called the rapture of the church referred. Jeremiah 30, verse 7, Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. To properly understand this or any other verse of Scripture, we must always remember that Christ himself has plainly stated that all mankind will live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4, But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If we approach any verse of Scripture without this truth in mind, we will fail to see the personal application, and we will, by default, place the experience of that verse upon someone else, and we will judge ourselves out of our own mouths, and will appear at a later time to experience those words which have proceeded out of the mouth of God. Are these words which those who are Jacob want to be raptured out of? If you say yes they are, then you have so judged. But here is what the scriptures say will then befall all who want only to hear of smooth things and who think that they can and should seek to avoid judgment altogether. Lamentations 1 verse 21. They have heard that I sigh. There is none to comfort me. All my enemies have heard of my trouble. They are glad that you have done it. You will bring the day that you have called, and they shall be like unto me. My trouble that you have done is the time of Jacob's trouble. It is a work of God that judges, quote-unquote, Jacob for his sins. We are all Jacob, and we all must be judged. Will Jacob's enemies who rejoice at Jacob's judgment somehow be raptured out of that judgment? Will any of us avoid God's wrath upon our sins? Is that what the scriptures teach? What utter deception. What a smooth doctrine. Here is what the scriptures have to say about such false and misleading doctrines. Isaiah 30, verses 8 through 13. Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, for ever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereupon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking comes suddenly at an instant. Verse 13 is a perfect description of the fall of the spiritual towers and false doctrines within us, which deny that we must live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is the very meaning of get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, from keeping the things written therein of Revelation 1:3. We will not taste of the waters of life until the destructions of those towers of lies and false doctrines which deny that God's wrath is revealed from heaven against our own sins and ungodliness. Isaiah 30, verse 25. And there shall be upon every mountain and upon every hill rivers and streams of water in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. And Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. We are all blasphemers of God, as long as we deny that we are blasphemers, and as long as we deny that our need to experience God's wrath on our ungodliness, and deny that we must live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, and keep the things therein. 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 through 14. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, that for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. It is God's grace that judges us and chastens and scourges us to forsake ungodliness and worldly lusts. Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching, the Greek word is chastening, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Read what is the purpose and function of grace on the site. The truth of God's word is that no one will escape that wrath of God upon their sins, no one. And there shall be like unto me, of Lamentations 1:21. It is all simply a matter of timing. We are all judged. We will all experience the wrath of God upon our foolish sins, and those sins, weaknesses, giants in our land, will all be painfully burned out of each and every descendant of our common father, that marred clay vessel called Adam. The truth of God's word is that no one will escape that wrath of God upon their sins. No one. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, and he humbled you and suffered you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you knew not, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God does man live. The word man appears twice in that verse, and both times it is the Hebrew word Adam. So all who are in Adam will experience their own time of Jacob's trouble at their own appointed time. And no one will escape living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. All the lying rapture theory sermons to the contrary, and all the pointing to 1 Thessalonians 5:9, will not nullify these words of God, of Ecclesiastes 9, verse 2. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean, and to the unclean, to him that sacrifices and to him that sacrifices not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that swears as he that fears an oath. You need to know that 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 9 is also used to prop up this false doctrine that denies that all things come alike to all, and which denies that all of mankind will live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, and which denies that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, and which denies that as long as we are in unbelief, his wrath abides upon us, and which denies that we were ever the children of God's wrath, even as others. Here is 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 9, and here are all those verses that I have referenced in this paragraph above. 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 9 and 10, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And John 3:36, he that believes on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Is there any one of us who have never been in unbelief? Is Paul contrasting God's elect with the rest of mankind in 1 Thessalonians 5:9? Or is Paul speaking of mankind as a whole being appointed to salvation in the end? God has not appointed us, all for whom he died, to wrath, but to salvation. Is salvation only for God's elect? Did Christ die only for his elect? Look at the next verse in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 10. Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Christ did not die exclusively and only for the first fruits. That is not what the scriptures teach. 1 Timothy 4, verse 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust the living God, who is the Savior of all men, specially, not exclusively, of those that believe. God's wrath is upon all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, including the unrighteousnesses of his own elect. And yet it is not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world that Christ died and was resurrected. What is God's word to those who teach any form of avoiding the wrath of God upon the unrighteousness of all men? Here is God's word for these purveyors of smooth things and deceits. Jeremiah 25, verses 14 through 28. No, 14 through 18 and 28. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands. For thus says the Lord God of Israel unto me, Take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send you to drink it, and they shall drink, and be moved, and be mad, because of the sword that I send among them. Then I took the cup at the Lord's hand, and made all the nations to drink, unto whom the Lord had sent me, to wit, Jerusalem, and the cities of Judah, and the kings thereof, and the princes thereof, to make them a desolation, an astonishment, a hissing, and a curse, as it is this day. And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup at your hand to drink, then shall you say unto them, Thus says the Lord of hosts, You shall certainly drink. If they refuse, you shall certainly drink. That may not be smooth deceit, but that is a godly truth. Notice that this whole warning is introduced with this verse in verse 14 of Jeremiah 25. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands. The certainty that no one is excluded from living these words that proceed out of the mouth of God is preceded by informing us that many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of Jacob and his descendants. Now let's look again at the verse that you first referenced, and which is twisted to teach the false doctrine of a secret rapture to avoid the wrath of God upon our sins. In Jeremiah 30, verses 7 and 8. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off his neck, and will burst your bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. Kings serving themselves of Jacob is the time of Jacob's trouble. Will Jacob be raptured out of his trouble? No. If he thinks he will, if he thinks he will avoid God's wrath upon his sins, the warning is in Jeremiah 25, verse 28. And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup at your hand to drink, then you shall say unto them, Thus says the Lord God of hosts, You shall certainly drink. I hope this all helps you to see clearly that being saved out of it, anything scripturally, is not being raptured away before it even gets here. Daniel was saved out of the lion's den. The three Hebrew children were saved out of the fiery furnace. And Christ was saved out of death. That is also how Jacob and all of us will be saved out of the time of Jacob's trouble. Hebrews 5 verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, offering both petitions and supplications with strong clamor and tears to him who is able to save him out of death, being hearkened to also for his piety. That's the CLV version. Here is the time of Jacob's trouble in the lives of God's elect. 1 Peter 4, verses 12, 13, and 17. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. And verse 17, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? The scriptures teach that there is one event to all, and they also teach that all things are ours. They most definitely do not teach that all things but the wrath of God on our ungodliness and blaspheming are ours. 1 Corinthians 3 verses 21 and 22. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. The answer to Peter's rhetorical question, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God, is that them that obey not the gospel of God will be in a later and less desirable judgment called the Great White Throne Judgment, or the Second Death, and them that obey not the gospel of God will be in a later and less desirable resurrection called the Second Resurrection. The time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God is a fiery judgment, and it is the one event which is common to the righteous and to the sinner, but it is preferred and it is blessed in a way that will make all the fiery trials we endure now well worth the suffering. Romans 8 verse 17, and if children then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. 2 Timothy 2:12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Revelation 20 verse 6, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Then, after the 1,000 years are expired, we will also judge angels and Satan himself. Revelation 3 verse 21, to him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. Revelation 20 verses 7 through 15, and when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up over the breadth of the earth, and encircled the camp of the saints, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, great, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. 1 Corinthians 6 verses 2 and 3, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more things appertain to this life? I will close with a few verses for your consideration. 1 Timothy 4, verses 15 and 16. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto yourselves and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you shall both save yourself and them that hear you. Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. 1 Kings 8, verses 37 through 39. If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be a caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities. Whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man, or by all your people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands towards this house, then hear you in heaven, your dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart you know. For you, even you only, know the hearts of all the children of men. God is not mocked. Every man will receive according to his ways, and every man will be saved, so as by fire. The time of Jacob's trouble is the day of his judgment. That day is now upon all who are in Christ. While it certainly is not a smooth thing to have to say, at least it is the truth. The truth is that our day of judgment is a fiery day indeed. And while it is a fiery trial which is to try you, the rewards are more than sufficient for the suffering we endure. Romans 8, verses 18 and 19, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God." Your brother in Christ, Mike. And now we go to the second FAQ that has been referenced in this FAQ called "Is There Ever a Rapture?" And it's called "The Idea of the Rapture." "Hey Mike, I've been speaking to and hearing people talk about this great tribulation they want escape. I wanted to ask, where do they get this stuff about the Antichrist coming and making peace with people and other things? Is this in the Bible? I want to study this myself and see how they come to these conclusions. If you have any idea where it is in the Bible, where they misinterpret these things, please let me know, because I want to study this myself." Signed, Y. Hi, Y. As far as where people get the doctrine of a rapture is concerned, they get it from 1 Thessalonians 4:17 and 1 Thessalonians 5:9. Matthew 24, verses 40 through 44, Revelation 3:10, and many others. They are all the results of not being given eyes that see that Christ was not raptured out of anything, but instead endured to the end. It is the result of not being given eyes to see that all things are ours, and that there is one event to all, and that we are told to keep the things written therein. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 2, "All things come alike to all. There is one event, to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrifices and to him that sacrifices not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that swears, as he that fears an oath." Matthew 4, 4, "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." 1 Corinthians 3, verses 21 and 22, "Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours." And Revelation 1, 3, "Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." This desire to escape the trials and tribulations of our walk is natural, but it is not scriptural. This is scriptural. Acts 14, verse 22, "Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." The way of escape, quote unquote, is through the flood of Noah, through the Red Sea, through the lion's den, through the fiery furnace, and finally through the fire of the cross. The not appointed unto wrath of 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 9 is true in the same sense as we are not appointed unto death but to life. The way we get to that life is by losing our life. Matthew 10 verse 39, he that finds his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. These two articles on the site, Who's Taken and Who's Left, as well as What is the Time of Jacob's Trouble, deal with the subject of the rapture in greater detail if you'd like to study it further. I hope this is of some edification for you. Your brother in Christ, Mike. And here then is that third article referenced in the FAQ that we're reading for March. Is there ever a rapture? And this one is entitled, Who is Taken and Who is Left? We are in the book of Matthew, Matthew 24. Last week we covered the last half of the chapter, but I'm going to go back and review because I feel like we need to do that. This talk is entitled, Who is Taken and Who is Left, based mostly on the latter part of the chapter. And now we continue on with the next FAQ from March 2014, and it's entitled, Should Our Spouses Be Put Ahead of Our Parents? Hi, Mike. Can I ask why it is important to put our wives above all things, apart from God, of course? The reason I ask is, in my country, a man who puts his wife before his mother is sometimes thought to have let a woman take him away. There's usually a negative feeling towards him. Can you please help me to see the importance of this? Kindest regards, your brother in Christ, signed, D. Hi, D. Thank you for this question. You ask, why is it important to put our wives above all things, apart from God, of course? The reason I ask is in my country, a man who puts his wife before his mother is sometimes thought to have let a woman take him away. There's usually a negative feeling towards him. Please, can you help me see the importance of this? I was not aware of that part in your culture, but truth is a truth in every culture and in every era. Truth is never relevant to anything or any certain time. Christ is the truth, and he never changes, regardless of the times or the circumstances. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. John 17:17, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Romans 3 verse 4, God forbid, yea, let God be true and every man a liar. As it is written, that you may be justified in your sayings and might overcome when you are judged. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. To answer your question in a way that you and others can properly understand why we're told to place our spouse above every other physical person on this earth, we must acknowledge that the marriage union typifies Christ and the church. And we must also understand that Christ's words all have both a negative and a positive application. Here's where we're told that the marriage union typifies our relationship with Christ, in Ephesians 5, verses 30 through 32. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Here are the scriptures that reveal that Christ, and therefore his word, is a light to his people, but darkness to the world. Exodus 14, verse 20, and it, the cloud, Christ, and it, came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Matthew 13, verses 10 through 14. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speak you unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which says, By hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. And Romans 11, verse 8, According as it is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. Ephesians 5:31 tells us, For this cause being that we are the flesh and bone of Christ. That phrase is lifted right out of the account of the first recorded marriage. Genesis 2, verses 21 through 24. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The reason I brought the light and darkness, positive and negative principles into this discussion is that in this particular situation, where a new couple are beginning a new family, the old father and mother, typify the old world of our old man. And it is of utmost importance for the success of a marriage that the husband put his wife above all others, parents, children, friends. And the wife must put her husband over her parents, children, and friends. Nothing must come between us and the Lord. But when that is the case, then our spouse has nothing to fear in this world. If the couple is of the same mind, and place each other over all other physical persons. I hope this helps you to understand why we are to put our mate over even our parents. Your brother in the Christ, Mike. And now our last FAQ that was posted in March 2014 is entitled, What Did John the Baptist Do While Growing Up? Hello. Would you have knowledge of whether there is any information on record about what happened to Elizabeth and Zacharias after John's circumcision, which while he was growing up? Luke states how John grew, then went into the desert, but what did he do while growing? Also, whatever happened to his parents? Appreciate any information or direction. Thank you, signed S. Hi, S. Thank you for your question concerning John and his parents. We're told that John's father Zacharias was a priest who ministered at the temple in Jerusalem. So we know that much about what John's father Zacharias did. There's absolutely no reason given in Scripture to assume that Zacharias did not continue his priestly duties. Luke 1 verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And Luke 1 verses 8 and 9, And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, His lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Here is all we're told about the life of John. Luke 1, verse 80. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Here's Matthew's account of John, in Matthew 3, verses 3 through 6. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Esaias, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare you the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. And here's what Mark tells us about John in Mark 1, verses 2 through 8. As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, which shall prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare you the way of the Lord, and make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness, and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the lands of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, There comes one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And finally, we have the Apostle John's account of John the Baptist in John 1, verses 6 through 8. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all men through him might believe. He, i.e. John, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. This is all we're told about what John did before he showed himself to Israel. Many people also wonder what Christ did as a child. The only thing we know about his life before his ministry began at about 30 years of age is that at 12 years of age, he stayed behind in the temple after his parents left to go back home. The Bible gives the briefest sketch as a history book simply because history is not its main objective. Its main objective is to tell us what God is doing with mankind and to introduce mankind to God and his Son Jesus Christ through the faith of Jesus Christ within us. Proverbs 16 verses 4 through 6, The Lord has made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Ecclesiastes 1:13, I applied my heart to inquiring and exploring by wisdom concerning all that is done under the heavens. It is an experience of evil Elohim has given to the sons of humanity to humble them by it. And that's the CLV version. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Ecclesiastes 12:13, Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Jeremiah 18 verse 4, And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Daniel 4 verse 17, This matter is by decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomsoever he will, and sets up over it the basest of men. John 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Romans 9, verse 16, so then it is not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, but of God that shows mercy. 1 Corinthians 15, 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And Ephesians 1, verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. This is what the Word of God is all about, and any history of the lives of anyone in Scripture is solely for the purpose of teaching us that God is sovereign, and that he has made us in a marred condition right from the hand of the potter, and that he is in the process of humbling every man who has ever lived, and bringing all in Adam back to him after the counsel of his own will. I will close this email with one more verse of Scripture which we strive to obey as we answer every question that comes before us on the iswasandwillbe.com site. Here is that verse of Scripture, in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6. Now these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that in us you may learn not to go beyond the things which are written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against the other. There's nothing wrong with wondering about these things. I wonder about matters like this myself. But I never quote extra biblical sources, like the so-called church fathers, concerning biblical doctrine because of this admonition not to go beyond the things which are written in the Scriptures themselves. I hope this helps you to see why I've only given you what is written in answer to your question. Your brother in Christ, Mike.